So in Shulchan Aruch, the moving through from Hilchos Rosh Hashanah to Hilchos Yom Kippur, there's a stop along the way for Aseres Mitzvah and then for Erev Yom Kippur. Aseres Mitzvah, we discussed earlier that the Shulchan Aruch talks about the importance of engagement in Sifrei Yira, even if one does not engage with Sifrei Yira all year long, which is would be a good idea to do, but it's even more critical that one engage Sifrei Yira on Esdura Aseres Mitzvah. I think I mentioned the other day the example that the Ramata quotes of a Dvar Musar, the commentary of Ben Yonah about the difference between the Chatas and the Asham Tali. Right? That the Asham Tali requires more costs, more investment than the Chatas, which is at first seems paradoxical because it's L'chora less of an Adera in a sense, or only a chance of an Adera as opposed to Avadai Adera. And yet the Asham Tali, there's a minimum cost for a Chatas, no minimum cost. But Ben Yonah explains it's exactly for that reason. Because Mitzad Adin, conceptually, yes, there's potentially less to be mechaper, or potentially nothing to be mechaper for, but psychologically, it's going to be much, for that very reason, it will be much harder to really commit to change and sort of to recognize the first step, recognize the fact that I made a mistake, because it's so easy to say, well, maybe nothing really happened anyhow, maybe it wasn't really chelet to begin with. But that's why you need more investment, even financial investment, in order to really throw yourself in to the process of change. Shulchan Aruch, they also talk about another aspect of Aseres Mitzvah, is this idea of stepping away from certain kulos that we keep all year long. Aseres Mitzvah, we put those kulos on hold. Specifically, the example that they give in Shulchan Aruch is pas palter, baker's bread. What exactly is pas palter? So that begins with a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Mishnais have three categories of food. Maseches Avodah Zarah is not just about Avodah Zarah. The end of Maseches is about Avodah Zarah. The first two parakim really are about relating to non-Jews. And towards the end of the second parak, the Mishnais have a series of three lists of items that one might get or that were manufactured by a non-Jew. One category, on the one hand, you have those things which are Asur Bahana. It's because there's some Avodah Zarah connection or a potential Avodah Zarah connection. So there are also Bachila Uvahana. You can't have any benefit whatsoever because of the Avodah Zarah concern. On the other extreme, you have a list of items that are totally kosher. In the middle, you have those items which are Mutter Bahana, but Asur Bachila. There's no Avodah Zarah angle, so there's no Yisra Hana, but you're not allowed to eat them. Either some of the items on the list you can't eat because of a kosher concern. Some of the items on the list you can't eat for other reasons. One of those items is Pas Akum. Chazal forbade eating bread that was baked by a non-Jew, not because of a concern of kashrus. In other words, even if you know the ingredients are kosher and the equipment is kosher, but Chazal forbade Pas Akum, they forbade Shlokos, which is a Mishnah's term for Bishal Akum, they forbade Yain Akum, because of a concern of, Gemara says, of Chasus. Because of a concern, most Rishonim read that, that's true for Bishal and Pas also. They wanted to create speed bumps to slow down, to stand in the way of too much free socializing with people who don't share our core values. One ought to be friendly and civil with non-Jews, but one ought to be friends, good friends, with people who share our core values. And where that might lead, the worst case scenario, the Gemara describes as chasnas, actually interdating and intermarrying, and Jews are intimately connected with non-Jews. That's where things might end, ultimately. So to prevent that, Chazal wanted to tamp down generally on socializing with non-Jews. So the way to men's heart is through his stomach. So if there are limitations on eating non-Jewish produced food, then that's going to be a hecker that will remind you that this needs to be a situation that we handle gingerly. So there are different levels of Isurim, on Yayin, on Bishol, and on Pas. Pas is the most kal of all the different categories of food that Chazal forbade. Tosa Rosh writes on Avodah Zarah, it's because it's the question of how socially significant is that food. To drink wine with a non-Jew is a much greater concern of chasdus. Drinking, eating food with a non-Jew is a lesser concern of chasdus. And then bread is even a weaker concern. So that's why we have more coolness with bread than with bishul. Now, one coolness that's in question is the following. Bishul akam applies. There are rules and regulations when bishul akam applies, when it doesn't. That's not our focus right now. But suffice it to say that it does apply regardless of whether the non-Jew cooked something in a personal setting or in a commercial setting. In other words, bishul akam doesn't just apply if you go with a non-Jew, you know, made homemade ratatouille for you, or the non-Jew made scrambled eggs in his or her own kitchen, or in your kitchen for that matter. But even if it's a commercial thing, to go to a restaurant, you're still going to have a problem of bishul akam. So to give hashgacha in a restaurant, you have to solve the bishul akam problem as well. However, to give hashgacha in a bakery may not be the same. And that's a way to ancient machlokas ha-gaonim, machlokas Rishonim ha-paskin. Is there a concern? Is pas akum, which is a lesser degree of intensity than bishul akam, maybe that's a discussion. Does pas akum apply only in a homemade setting or even in a commercial setting? And Ashkenazim are generally makel that you can eat pas palter. A palter is a baker. So we assume if a non-Jew made homemade bread in a kitchen, whether your kitchen or his kitchen, even if you know it was a mashkiach or you were ran, whatever the case may be, you know the ingredients were kosher, you know the pots and pans were kosher, but still, that's a issur drabanan of pas akum. However, if it's in a commercial setting, it was a baker, he was not just baking bread for you. And we understand the svar. They cookies for you, that there's much more social significance to gain a plate of cookies from someone than you go to the bakery and he's baking cookies for the whole city. So yeah, you're one of 1,000 customers online to buy their cookies, to buy their bread. There is not nearly as much of a social consideration there. So that's the machlokes, whether, again, just to be clear, bishul akum, everyone agrees that bishul akum is forbidden even in a restaurant. However, pas akum, that's a question. Does pas akum apply even in a bakery or only in a home setting? In other words, if you're the local rabbi, you're giving hashgacha on the bakery. So let's say it's operated by non-Jews, but they're interested in being kosher and they're glad to, you know, work with whatever standards you have for kashrus. So do you just have to ensure that the ingredients are kosher and that they're careful of milchus and fleishiks, or milchus and parv? Or, if it's non-Jewish owned, you don't have to worry about farshas challah. Or do you even have to make sure that's all pas Yisrael and you have to make sure they have a Jew who lights the fire every time? So that's the machlok, because we're generally makel that pas palter is fine. It's not a concern of pas akum. And if you buy intimate cookies, or you buy bread with the chafke on it, or the OU on it, in the supermarket, so that's all assumed. That's all on the assumption, which we pass, like that the Rambam paskins, that the pas palter is fine. So you have to make sure the ingredients are kosher, the equipment is kosher, but you don't have to have a mashgiach tamidi who's lighting the fire for every run of baking. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends that those who are making pas palter, the Direi Naseres Mei Tshuva, that's a good kula to step away from. At least to maintain a higher standard, strictly speaking, assume it's mutter, but as a kula, it's mutter l'achlokas, so why not step away from that over the course of Aseres Mei Tshuva? It's not relevant for so many days. Yom Kippur, you're not eating anything. And Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and 1 day of Shabbos Shuva. And I think Maghrib Ram writes that all year long in Shabbos, we avoid pas palter. That's one of the reasons why you have challah on Shabbos, because challah was baked by some Jew or another in your life, or some Jew or another in the bakery. Challah is always pas Yisrael. So that's why if someone at home baked cookies for Shabbos, or someone at home baked a cake for Shabbos, so that's someone at home presumably is Yisrael or Yisraelis, and that's pas Yisrael. But the Mechaber recommends one should be machmir over the course of even the weekdays of Aseres Mei Tshuva to avoid that. This is something you should file away in your mind. When you run your own home, so you will stock your house with pas Yisrael for the course of Aseres Mei Tshuva. Right now, at this point in your life, you're not running your own kitchen, and so you should work with the people around you. But if you're going shopping for lunch, that's something to bear in mind. When you go shopping for lunch, I believe that all of the local eateries that are under Ashkacha are, I'm not sure, it could be all year long, but certainly they're careful about Pas Yisrael. but that's, or at least all the local eateries on Amsterdam Avenue, I believe. Some of them have signs telling you what's pasta shawl, what's not. But if you're going to buy packaged stuff, that's something worth thinking about. Cookies and cake are cake maybe, certainly cookies. The sort of thing that's lechem, because the pasta only applies to something that's lechem. So if it's it has to be some sort of loaf. Let's say cereal, for instance, even if it's shears or shredded wheat, that's mamash made from chameshes mini dagan, the little teeny tiny pieces, that's not, you wouldn't be mafresh challah if you were making it yourself. So there's no din of pas. There's no din of pas akum either. But things like wraps and cookies and cakes and bread, or cakes maybe, and bread, so those are the sort of things that one that are pas akum sensitive. But breakfast cereal is not. Pretzels are not. Those things that don't have a loaf to them are assumed to be not. It doesn't have a Torah, what the Gemara calls Torah alechem. Teresa Dinama, that is not a problem. Question? Oh yeah? Okay, I'd love to see. Gotta take a look. Sounds exciting. That would be helpful. Because sometimes people wonder, what does it mean to take on a chumrah for Seres Mitzvah? I'm not trying to fool a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It wouldn't work, and that's not what I'm trying to do. It's counterproductive. I don't intend to. But sometimes people say, no, in other words, I'm reminding myself of my ambitions. Or something along those lines. Or maybe along the lines of the Ramban by the Akedah. What Snow is suggesting for the Aruch HaShulchan, that's a whole different, that means a Zecher. Maybe a Zecher to the fact, by the way, we're in another season now also. The opening mission in Yuma says there were mafresh to Kohen Gadol for 7 days for the week that preceded Yom Kippur. Hachana for Yom Kippur. That period of Hachana was from Som Gedaliah to Erev Yom Kippur. 7 days. Yom Kippur, Tuesday Rosh Hashanah, and the 7 days in between. So Shivas Yamim, opening mission in Yuma, this is a time of Hachanah. His Hachanah of Yom Kippur had a lot to do with Halachic Tahara also, as well as Tahara Mechet. So the notion of adding Tahara may connect us, Azechel and Mikdash, and sort of gets us thinking about the Hachanah of Aseres Mitzvah of Yom Kippur in another level also. Then the Shulchan Aruch moves on to talk about Yom Kippur. Before we talk about Yom Kippur, we talk about Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, you have a number of, yeah? Slichos and Erev Yom Kippur are so long. Actually, if you're a Yakka, then they are.
Yeah,
if not a Yakka, then they're not. Because we see Erev Yom Kippur, as a bit of a Yom Tov. Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach, at least the afternoon of Erev Pesach, you see as a quasi Yom Tov. And Gemara says, Gemara Newman elsewhere tells us there's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. Gemara points out a very strange pasuk. What day is Yom Kippur? Well, Ten Tishrei or 11 Tishrei. What does it say in the Chumash? What day is Yom Kippur? The 10th of Tishrei. Who thinks that the Chumash says Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishrei? Raise your hand.
If Rabbi asked that question, it's obvious about
Not actually Tishrei, but...
You should have all raised your hand, because the Chumash clearly says that the Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei.
Woo!
It doesn't say
Take that!
Correct. But it's incontrovertible that the Chumash says that Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei. However, it's not the only date that the Chumash gives. Ooh. Sounds familiar?
I mean, it's gotta be like 8 times.
What does it say before that? B'sisha l'chodesh. B'sisha l'chodesh. The ninth day. Oh, so the Gemara has more than one solution.
It's at night.
Yeah, at night.
Erev, we do it. Like Thursday night.
but the night is Tet.
So then it'll be
the night. The night is different.
Nine at night.
Nine at night is
night
before.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jewish
it's like midnight.
It comes before 1 a.m. 12 a.m.
I know holding the Jewish.
The dog is on to something. So one suggestion the Gemara has is that Besisha Chodesh Ba'erev means the end of the night, the late afternoon of the night, you already start fasting. We call that Tosefes Yom HaKippur. And that becomes the beginning of the concept that the Gemara then applies to Shabbos Yom Tov as well, and to the end of Yom Kippur, the notion of Tosefes. Tosefes Yom HaKippur, Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov. The Rambam does, as an aside, Rambam does not seem to quote Tosefes in any significant way, except for fasting on the Kippur. And that's fascinating, and there are interesting implications. Other Rishonim seem to assume that we pass in the way the Gemara presents it. It begins with Sukkot Yom Kippur, but then we expand it to Shabbos Yom Kippur also. There's further discussion about how Tosefes Shabbos Yom Kippur works. Maybe some other time we can talk about that. Then we want another suggestion. What's the other suggestion? You should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. You should eat on the night. You say, one second. How does that solve anything? The Torah said you should fast all night, you eat on the night. So, well, how does that solve anything? But the Chumash was fast. How you fast on the night? Either you're fasting on, it means you're fasting at the very end, the tail end of the ninth. Tosefes Yom Kippur. Or it means, no, you eat. After you fast. Oh! So the Gemara says, Kol hamis'aneh, kol ochel b'chi, you eat on the ninth, it's ki'ilu, it's aneh chi vasri. It's as though you fast in the ninth and the tenth. That's interesting. So it's not really a mitzvah to fast on the ninth. It's really a mitzvah to eat on the ninth. But it's ke'ilu, you fast on it. Now, what does that mean, ke'ilu? You have a mitzvah to eat. Thank you. But what does that mean? It's as if.
Ke'ilu.
So, in what way is it as if?
Because your parents just did. Making it harder to fast by spending
your time. Right. So what? The most common understanding of the rationale for Tosefes Yom HaKippur is that which Rashi gives and other Rishonim pick up, and Rashi picks up on it, Ben Yonah picks up on it, that it's a hachana for the fast. You're going to have to fast tomorrow. So Rashi says, Chumash says, the Baruch Shem tells the Chumash, I want you to eat on the 9th as a preparation for the mitzvah of fasting on the 10th, and they go together. Gevaldik. So that's one approach to understanding the Ke'ilah. As a matter of fact, when the Rosh in Yuma quotes this, on Daf Pei Aleph, I believe, in Maseches Yuma, when the Rosh in the back of the Gemara quotes this, so the Rosh says, he picks up on Rashi, he says, he expands on Rashi, he says, it's Mechazdei Hashem. He says, once you have a mitzvah to fast in Yom Kippur on the 10th, so everyone's going to eat on the 9th anyhow. That's a normal thing to do if you know you're fasting the next day. It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu took what would have been discretionary eating and made it into a mitzvah. So Mechazdei Hashem, we're eating anyways, bang, and now it's a mitzvah. Oh. Okay, now, then another way of understanding the ki'ilu, and just worth considering, what does ki'ilu mean, is it may be from the point of view of schar. Schar. What do you mean by schar? Because
how much schar do you get for mitzvah? Anyone know?
We don't know.
Right. The Mishnah says, it's really hard to know how much schar you get for any particular mitzvah. We're not privy to all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. We know some of it. We don't know all, but we don't have the full algorithm. But we know one line of the code. One line appears, it's an Aramaic phrase in Pirkei Avos. One of the few Aramaic phrases in Mishnah. So the Rambam translates it to Hebrew. As haskar lefi hatzar. How do you say it in Aramaic? Very good. Lefun tzara agra. Lefi hatzar haskar. Lefun tzara agra. Which means that the more you observe, the more difficult it is to do a particular mitzvah.
Or the more difficult it is to resist a certain avera, the more schar one gets for having made that correct decision. The harder it is, I don't have much of a taiva to murder anyone. I don't have much of a taiva to wear shatnas. So I'm not going to get that much schar for avoiding those things that aren't so difficult. A person avoids a short person badly wants to do an avera, badly in both senses, badly. A person badly wants to do something bad and doesn't, or postpones it, holds off for however long he's holding off to do the chet. If it was hard, you get a lot of schar. So what's harder, to fast or to eat?
What?
Okay. For those who find eating easier than not eating, so the ki'ilu could mean in terms of psa. In other words, the Chazal also says, you have mitzvah to fast Yom Kippur, you have mitzvah to eat on every Yom Kippur. Fast Yom Kippur is hard stuff, you get a lot of psa for it. Eating on every Yom Kippur is not so difficult. But the hearing takes this much. The reason why it's described as fasting is because the Chazal gives extra upgrade. That you'll get the amount of schar that you'll get for the achilah of Yom Kippur is ki'ilu, the hard mitzvah. And they also have to do with the connection between the two. I leave you to think about whether there's a mitzvah of eating on Yom Kippur. If you know you're going to eat on Yom Kippur anyhow, you will perhaps pick up with that. Come on. Yeah. Okay. That is better. If you know you have multiple times of brothers, it will be. Issa Daraisa was the best of the game. I think his last attempt. Probably.